It'll just take me a second. So is my screen visible? The right screen, hopefully.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out where Zoom disappeared to. Oh, that's strange. It's weird. I just put a different mode up there. Oh, I know why. Never mind. Okay, so is video even working? That looks promising.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so as Mr. Moderator, when would you like me to start, or should we wait for more people to show up?
I think it's starting time, so you can go ahead.
Okay, so we had our deja vu moment earlier. We got to hear Chris Hertel talking about offload engines, which brought back memories from the dark past when I was a new programmer. Now we get to bring back memories of Unix extensions. So I guess here's a quiz question for you. How many of you guys realize that there was actually, in the earliest versions of SMB, HP, SCO, and others had done Unix extensions back, you know, as early as 1990. That's a long time ago. So I chaired the SNEA SIFS group that that documented this, but the work was, a lot of the heavy lifting was done originally by SCO and HP and others. Jeremy and I put together some modest extensions for SMB1, CIFS. But as you guys know, and I want to emphasize again, CIFS is a four-letter word. Don't use it. We want to be using SMB3.1.1. And the security improvements are essential. But here's the problem. The problem is we need to have some of the features that were available back 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, in the earlier SMB1 version of this. Now, one of the reasons that hasn't happened is that we had a lot of hacks and compensations, and also because surprising number of workloads don't actually require it. But let's start out by explaining why the job is hard, because we don't want to feel too guilty and make Jeremy feel guilty, or me feel guilty, or Relian feel guilty. Think about Linux. I think some of you guys, if you've ever worked at HP or IBM or Sun or Oracle, you've met people who were on the standards committees that defined this evil thing called POSIX. And, XOpen, there were groups that defined APIs, and they were tiny, the set of APIs, but we kind of assume that's all that matters. One of the things that's fascinating about Linux is Linux has absolutely nothing to do with POSIX in some sense, right? A tiny percentage of the Linux syscalls are POSIX related. So as an experiment, this was back in the Storage Developer Conference in Tel Aviv. I just grepped. How many syscalls do we have? I think I checked yesterday, maybe they got rid of a couple. There was 848. 500 of these syscalls are documented man pages. Now think about that, 500 syscalls. I mean, obviously there's more library functions and things like that, but kernel interfaces, there's 500, more than 500. And you're like, oh, they don't, none of them matter. Most of them don't matter. Well, okay, look at the file system layer. Look at this thing on the right. 223 kernel calls in the file system layer that apps can make. 223. Now, some of them are duplicate kind of stuff, right, where they're slightly, one-offs of something else. But, we really have probably worst case triple or quadruple the syscalls to deal with that POSIX had to deal with in the dark ages. Linux is big. And we're not talking about POSIX extensions in some sense, really talking about broader Linux extensions to make Linux work great to Samba. What's the goal? We want to make Samba a fantastic server, the kernel server a fantastic server, Azure a fantastic server. We want to make these servers fantastic for dealing with Linux. In Azure, it's interesting, they talk about this a lot, how even in Microsoft, right, that over half the VMs that we deal with are are Linux, right? So we have to, whether we're working in the cloud, Azure, or whether you're talking about Samba, or whether you're talking about some NAS appliance, or you're talking about some embedded device reading the new kernel server, we have to support Linux well. And it's hard. Look at these, look at the man pages, right? 513 syscalls, that's a lot. Now, okay, you know, okay, so this, you could argue, well, these were all done years ago. Well, you guys remember Samba XP last year? We got 12 syscalls just since then. And I think you guys are, some of you guys like Jeremy are losing sleep over IOU ring as we talk now, right? So that's a lot of calls. So just a reminder, and I've repeated the slide over, you know, last year and the year before. Linux is bigger than POSIX. Our goal in Samba, our goal in the Linux kernel client, is to make Linux clients work well. And of course, Macs and other BSD clients will also benefit from this, but we want Linux to work well. For Linux to work well, we got a lot of work to do. And these Unix extensions are a very exciting part of that. Okay, so one could back up and say, well, who cares? You know, EXT4 works, XFS works, you know, why do we care? Worst case, you could do loopback mounts and have the loopback device just sit on an SMB mount, you know, loopback mount an EXT4 file as it on an SMB mount. But the problem is network file systems actually matter. And, you know, SMB is the most popular file protocol. It's supported on more devices than anything else. And you think about block devices. I think back to the Linux File System Summit. So I don't know how many of you guys ever deal with file system developers on Linux. They sometimes argue that memory management and block device guys can be worse. I remember an argument that they're having about RDMA and what to do about, trying to delete a file that this block device that had RDMA. And the file system people are all scratching their heads wondering, why are they even having this discussion? Because you shouldn't ever be using RDMA without having a file system on top of you that can referee, that can deal with locking, that can deal with leases, that can deal with the consistent metadata. You know, in this push to have sort of NVMe over fabrics and RDMA, people forget that there's a reason that file systems exist, right? File systems exist when two clients are trying to access the same file. You just can't do that on a block device, sanely. Network file systems matter, not just to the cloud, not just in narrow use cases. And, you know, they are not as fast in some cases as accessing the block devices directly from, you know, over the network from EXT4 or XFS, but they matter because they give us the security. They give us the ability to do all of these features that we see on the slide here. And we have to be able to do that with the most secure, the most optimal network file system protocol. So what's the key? The SMB311 POSIX extensions, which as we, you know, Jeremy is probably cringing right now because this has been a topic we've talked about for a couple years. Now, the good news on the client, the last remaining piece, is finishing up query info. POSIX query info and a related thing, we're supporting the special reparse tags that I'll talk about in a future slide. POSIX query info is targeted for the 5.8 kernel. Aureliana, we're discussing some of the approaches to that. The 5.8 merge window should open up in about a week. And, you know, the major pieces, the big pieces, read, dir, create, make, dir, statfs, all that works. And we've demonstrated that in last year's Samba XP. Now, back to Samba on the server side. As you probably know, there's been a lot of work on Samba, a major rewrite of some important things being done on the server side that Jeremy and others have been working. So these large changes have backed up work on that, like these POSIX extensions that cross multiple components. Also, the special file handling in the Samba Git tree for this needs to be updated. So there's a Git tree on samba.org that Jeremy has, and it has all of the changes except for a little bit more for special file handling for dealing with sockets, FIFOs, and care devices, which are relatively rare cases compared to the other parts. But here's the good news. So even though the Samba work has been delayed, you know, obviously the client work is basically done. Even though the Samba work is delayed, the SMB kernel server has actually made some progress on this. So I was just looking at the code, in between the two talks this morning. And You know, it parses the POSIX negotiate context. It decides whether the client supports POSIX. It parses the POSIX open context. It doesn't fully implement this yet, but the SMB kernel server, which we're looking at merging into Linux Next in the next few weeks, if we can verify its build status. We're doing build verification testing at the moment, running XFS tests against it. If it's progressing as we say, then it'll give us another way of quickly verifying the POSIX extensions are doing what we expect, and allowing an experimental option for those who want to do more work. And the other good news is, of course, that the SNIA storage conferences, some of the third-party vendors had done experimental implementations of the POSIX extensions. So we haven't seen any major issues there, and there's no protocol disasters that we're worried about at the moment. So let's see, just making sure that there's no, anyway, so Jeremy had noted that there's a VFS rewrite, and I completely agree with that prioritization despite my agony about not getting the POSIX extensions on the server. With the VFS moving into the 20th century or 21st century, however you view it, this will help everyone. And I think that going forward, I'm glad that's being done. I just wish it was done a little bit faster, but Jeremy is doing some very hard work on that. And the good news, though, is that it allows us also with the kernel server as an additional experimental point and these third-party vendors, we can get some better data. And obviously, any help that you can do on the server side to help Jeremy out, help those out that are working on this would be great, because that code has actually been reasonably stable on the server side for over a year, but it has dependencies on these components that Jeremy noted. Okay, so the other good news, I think, is that Aurelien did Wireshark patches for this. And so you can view the network traces and understand what's going on and realize that these POSIX extensions are not as big as some of the, they're not as big as the SMB1 POSIX extensions were. We're able to leverage existing SMB3 features because SMB3 already provided a lot of what we needed. So one of the cool things is even at the test event last year, not just at the IO lab you see here with Samba team members, including Jeremy and Metz and others, at the SNIA Storage Developer Conference in Santa Clara, and then in Israel, in Tel Aviv, just before the COVID crisis hit, we were able to test these, and it's looking pretty good. So here is an example of Wireshark trace. You can see that negotiate is a very simple change. You can see the highlighted area was all that had to be added for the POSIX extensions in this. And once again, this is somewhat review for people, but I wanted to provide some context. Advertising the POSIX extensions is as simple as sending this negotiate context. It's really easy to do this. And the context doesn't have to contain much, as you can see from this Wireshark. Thank you, Aurelien, by the way, for the Wireshark improvements here. And then on open, all that's required, since everything in SMB is other than negotiate and session setup and tree connect, everything is handle based. All we have to do is when we open the handle, specify the POSIX create context. And I think you guys can see it here on the bottom right. The POSIX create context allows us to specify mode bits when we're creating the file. It also allows us to get back in the POSIX response what we need. And it also, because, in effect, it's got versioning, right? Because you can have a separate create context for V2 or V3. It's very easy to change the protocol by just having slightly different POSIX create contexts in the future as we find improvements or find additional features that workloads require. Okay, so what about other clients? You might argue that, it's great that you've got the kernel client, but who cares? Prove that it can be done with something else. Well, here's SMB client. Thank you, Volker, right? So you can see here the SMB client doing a basically a remover, using the POSIX features here. So it's kind of cool. So I'd like to see other implementations of it because it helps sanity check what we're talking about. Now, my previous talk, I mentioned we've made a lot of progress over the last year from, you know, the shy crocodile, 5.1 and 5.2. Last year, we were at, I think, 5.2 RC1. We had just released 5.1 to currently 5.7, which is coming out next week. And the SIFS client is rapidly improving. And I think there's been a lot of really good work. You know, this is here at Puerto Rico. This was at Puerto Rico, the Sheraton last year's File System Memory Management Summit. And I'm getting good feedback from some of these developers and suggestions. The File System Memory Management Development Team in Linux is quite an interesting group of people. There aren't a whole lot of people in Samba development who overlap that, but there are a couple. And, you know, it's nice to get these communities kind of working together, at least answering our questions when we have them and giving suggestions on improvements. So one of the questions that comes up is, you know, why not just use NFS? You know, why do we care about SMB? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, you know, one of the things that jumps out at me is I don't really want to wait 5 years for a new NFS RFC. Sometimes 7 years or 8 years between RFCs. It's a very slow political process. And then think about NFS, right? Connectathon died, right? Their main test event, they have these bake-offs. But, you know, we have test events regularly. We'd be having one at Samba XP this week if it weren't for the COVID crisis. We have three or four a year. This is extremely helpful to get the vendors together testing. And as a result, not only do we have the most documented protocol, not only do we have the richest protocol, but we have the best tested protocol. We have test cases like SMB Torture that are bigger than the NFS server itself. Just the test cases in Samba, right? I mean, these are huge, right? But think about the Windows test. Think about the presentations that were made at the last two SNEA conferences about the Windows test tools. You know, you can go out and open source, download the Git tree for these. There are incredible SMB test resources. Now, I personally, we spend a lot of time running the build bot, running XFS test over SMB mounts. But I think it's important to realize that SMB 3.1.1 has all the tools we need, tiny little changes we needed here. It's well-documented, great test cases. It's the logical approach to be kind of the common language across all file systems. So I think that's a very exciting thing. And by the way, Stefan noted that was an old capture. Yeah, that was an old screenshot. Remind me, I'll need to update that. In the so he noted that the negotiate, I used an old slide for that negotiate one. I need to fix that. Okay, thank you for noticing that. Okay, so why not use other protocols? Well, SMB 3.1.1, as we saw, is easily extensible. As Stefan noticed, right, in the negotiate, we just have to send an array of one or more GUIDs that indicate which create context we support. But it also has these other advantages we talked about. And I think the other thing to talk about is it's been proven. SMB 3.1.1 works in small embedded devices as a client and a server. It's probably running on your NAT and your home router now. It runs on huge clusters. Remember the talks yesterday from Ingo and others about spectrum scale. The largest server in the world. What's the largest server in the world? It's not some weird cluster. It's Azure, which is an SMB server, right? Azure XSMB. It's the largest server in the world. Millions of nodes on the server side. It's huge. So it's cool when you think about this thing. SMB 3.1.1 works across the default for Macs. And I was very excited when the Mac developers showed, you know, iOS and, you know, we're showing the iPhones and tablets all using SMB. It's the common protocol proven across literally every major OS. And don't forget, Samba's amazing. Samba rocks. Okay, so if you wanted to experiment with this, you need at least the 5.1 kernel. And the 5.1 kernel, you need this patch, or you can backport that patch. You know, current Ubuntu, for example, if you spin up Ubuntu and Azure, the stable releases are running either 5.3 or 5.4, so you'll have this. You know, Red Hat, I think we can check with Ronnie, but I think we're in pretty good shape. And, you know, so it's something you can experiment with, but it's not, you know, it's a mount option, right? It isn't negotiated by default. We do that because, you know, it's still being tested. Now, here's an example, doing LS over an SMB 3.1.1 mount. What do you see? you see permissions as you expect, right? The permissions are reported. You can do some of these with hacks, with the, you know, mode from SID and these sorts of things, right? You can do these things with compensations, but it's faster to have it returned in queried or in query info. So here's an example of the mode bits being preserved as expected. Here you see a 0.764 mode bit file. We create it and then we do an ls and you can see the mode bits preserved. So this was an example I did for the Storage Developer Conference in EMEA back in Tel Aviv a few months ago. But it's this, like I said, it can be done other ways, but this is a lot more efficient to send it on the open. Okay, so what's the key thing we're focusing on? One is quality, getting the XFS test passing. So Aurelian and Ronnie and Paolo a couple years ago created the build bot. So you can see, go out to the build bot and you can see what tests we've run. There are many potential issues that get pointed out by static analysis, by code coverage tools that are run in Linux, but the build bot has been fantastic at finding regressions. And it also allows us to gradually add tests and to look at the tests that are skipped and the tests that fail and see which of those could be addressed with minor changes to the POSIX extensions going forward. And the Jeremy's tree is now a build bot target for the automated regression tests. And as we add it to the kernel server, so right now we also have a kernel server test target, but as we add it for the kernel server, we'll have a POSIX extensions mount to the kernel server as a additional target. Right now we have a target for Azure, we have a target for Windows, we have a target for Jeremy's POSIX extension Samba tree, and we have extensions, we have a test category for test group for running against the SMB311 kernel server. We'll add one more for the SMB311 kernel server with POSIX extensions in the future. We also have a general bucket that runs against all server types that we know about, and then we have one for DFS, for the global namespace changes. And we try to incorporate in each of these various types of things. In the future, we'll be doing this for RDMA, for example, but we have things like multi-channel and we have things like different mount options that we test to each of the server types. So if you want to try it, what would you have to do? You could download Jeremy's Git tree, I point to there, check out the master branch, and then all you have to do is mount with new mount option POSIX. And ideally, you'd also append no map POSIX to the mount options so we don't default to converting reserved POSIX characters that aren't allowed in SMB by default, the colons and the backslashes. We don't map those by default. So you would mount with POSIX and then no map POSIX to prevent you from accidentally mounting stuff. And I'm very excited, that, as Jeremy noted here, that he's adding test cases for SMB2, well, SMB3 POSIX as well. So this is... this is really neat because once again, we want verification tests run against more than one server. And by the way, we need to defer to Volker here too, because as Jeremy notes, Volker has done some really good work here. I mentioned, for example, the SMB client changes. But having test cases for these POSIX extensions running to two servers from two clients, SMB client and the kernel client, from Samba's SMB torture, as well as XFS test running on SMB311 POSIX mounts, multiple server types, multiple client types, this is exactly what we need. And then as we talk about going to phase two, what do we need for the next phase of these things? It'll be so much faster as a result of all this work that's been done. And like I said, it's great that you can also test part of this to the SIFS-D kernel server. It does parse the context, but it doesn't do all of the POSIX features yet. Jeremy's code is way ahead there. Okay, let's see. One of the things that Jeremy asked, which I think is a valid thing to talk about, is what would be an alternative to this? Well, this is kind of the interesting problem, and one of the reasons it hasn't shipped already, is that most of the compensations that we do are good enough for workloads. Things like mode from SID, things like SIFS-ACL. The compensations we already do You know, we handle symlinks with the Minjil French, the MF symlinks. We handle many of the POSIX-like features, the Linux-like features already through different things that were already in the protocol. So that's one of the reasons it hasn't shipped already. But he brings up another question. Have I looked at the Mac OS extensions that Ralph worked on with VFS Fruit? And does the kernel client use any of these? So yes, we did look at the VFS Fruit. And I think it actually isn't a bad idea to use for some cases. The VFS Fruit is a minimal thing. It doesn't solve all of the problems we're looking at, but it would help in a couple ways. So I don't think it's a bad thing to explore, you know, allowing mounting with VFS Fruit. But once again, that would be kind of a temporary thing because it only would help you to max, because Samba in the long run will have much better support for POSIX with the POSIX extensions. VFS Fruit kind of solved about half the problems we're trying to address. Maybe three of the six or something, right, that we're trying to address. And some of them include, you know, case sensitivity. These are good. It's a good thing. But it doesn't solve all the problems we need. But I do think that it's a good idea to investigate using VFS Fruit and work with Ralph and add those into Linux as an option. It'd be a fun little project. It actually wouldn't be that hard. Okay, so as we talked about, this comes back to what Jeremy had been mentioning, the Samba VFS needs updating to match the modern Linux APIs. It has to change to using OpenAT, MakeDirAT, LinkAT everywhere. And that's a big change in 4 million lines of code. And you know, the work on KSMD may actually get us where we want to be faster for kind of declaring victory here. Because really the only piece left is this query info that goes in the 5.8 kernel, and the rest of it's already been verified. Okay, so one of the things that changed last year, and I think we talked about in the fall, what changed? Well, as we did these investigations, and maybe this is a benefit of not shipping it a year ago or 2 years ago in Samba, we found that WSL, the Windows Services for Linux, has a different approach to handling symlinks and special files. It advertises FIFOs, care devices, block devices, sockets as distinct reparse points rather than a generic reparse point that you then have to query. So because you don't have to query it, it saves a round trip. So if you had a directory listing with care devices and block devices and FIFOs and sockets, you wouldn't have to do as many query infos. You just, the reader would return the info you needed in the reparse point. And that saves round trips, which is good. It saves that extra query. So we made the decision to recommend that the server returns these special file types if it wants to advertise. Some servers hide them. You know, it's a very small change. And once again, it's a recommendation. There are other ways we could do this. But I think that advertising special files, care block, FIFO, and socket is this, has advantages. For symlinks, of course, let's talk about something very, Jeremy loses sleep every day thinking about symlinks. Samba developers lose sleep every day thinking about symlinks. Symlinks are horrible if they're on the server side. And the only case where they could possibly be valuable on the server side is if you're exporting multiple files systems, you know, NFS and SMB or whatever, exporting the same share. And symlinks evaluated on the server can be really dangerous. The beauty of how we handle symlinks today by default with MF symlinks is that they're evaluated only in the client. There's no security issue at all on the server. So whether the server chooses to expose symlinks via these special WSL-like reparse points, that's the server's config choice. You know, go into smbconf, set it, whatever Jeremy wants to do. But the special files are safe to advertise as reparse points. The symlinks, you can do whatever you want on the server side, but I don't want Jeremy to lose any more sleep on that. So typically, I expect people are going to mount with MF symlinks, and the symlinks will only be evaluated by the client. But that, once again, that's a server choice. My screen just disappeared.
So please stay with us. Stephen is probably fixing his monitor right now. Stephen, if you can hear us, we have 55 IT technicians. Maybe you need help. And now he's gone completely. Let's wait if he returns. Please stay tuned. Okay, it seems that Stephen has returned. Hi, Stephen.
Yes, so this is the beauty of working remote.
So I will stop my screen share now.
Okay.
Yeah, we can see you back.
Yep, so you know the wonder of working remote is that connectivity problems can happen. So what I probably should have done is switch to my cell phone, but what fun. Anyway, so we're back to a really interesting discussion, and there were some very good questions, and I wanted to go take a quick look at those and see if I missed any of these. It looks like I did. Oops, I don't see any open questions. So as moderator, did you see any additional questions that I
don't think so, no.
I thought there was a couple others that had been asked because when I restarted it clears all the questions that were displayed.
The last okay. Real question was from Jeremy. Do you want to change into the SMB2 plus POSIX extensions? But the rest is only comments. Yeah. So.
Yep, and I think the answer on that one is yes. These reparse tags make a lot of sense, and the screen I'm displaying gives you an example of that. That was really the only protocol change that happened, and that affects a relatively small subset of things, right? These block and care devices. Now, when we talk about phase two of this, when we talk about additional things, we're gonna have to come back to some specific things. There's a few fallocate related changes. There's a handling certain sparse file options that may be useful, and there may be specific narrow ioctals. But one of the things I wanna leave, I really want some feedback on this, is how we better integrate SE Linux. I was fascinated that last year the NFS developers gave I think Chuck Lever gave a talk at the Linux Security Summit about what could be done to integrate SE Linux into the protocol. We have, of course, the ability to use xadders, right? So we could have the server recognize the xadders used for SE Linux for changing things. But I do get the feeling that that there are specific things about SE Linux support that we could do with tiny modifications to the protocol that might not even require any Unix extensions, might just be new ioctals or new pseudo xadders. But it's something that I want to think about because we want to make SMB the most secure way to access files going forward. We have encrypted connections by default to many server types. We have, the Windows guys were talking about military grade encryption, AES 256. SMB does great authentication through SPNego, tunneling the Kerberos negotiation. We have the features needed, but we don't want to miss little things like SE Linux extensions. I think if you look at some of the things that NFS has been doing, they were a little bit more aware of this than we were in the past, and something we ought to take a look at. If you wanted to use these extensions today, what would you do? On the client, you would mount username and password like usual. You don't even have to specify verse equals 311. That's the default now, so you can leave that off. You specify POSIX. Now, depending on what you think of symlinks and Jeremy's fear of symlinks, I prefer doing the Minshall French symlinks, the Apple style symlinks, where they're only evaluated in the client. So I use MF symlinks. We do nomap POSIX because when you do nomap POSIX, colon and backslash will come across as it was stored on the server's disk. They're reserved characters normally, but nomap POSIX will allow the client not to try to remap them into the Unicode remap range. No perm I like simply because let the server evaluate its ACLs and do its thing, right? Having the client and the server both evaluating the permissions seems a little bit redundant. And by the way, the MF symlinks carry my name. I still don't know exactly why, but thank you, Conrad at Apple, for that. Okay, so on the server side, SMB2 Unix extensions equals yes, makes sense. Mangled names equals no, makes sense.
Steven, you are not sharing your screen right now.
Okay, I didn't change anything. Let me go back. That's interesting. So you don't see the screen shared right now?
That's correct.
Let's see. How about that? Does that look good?
Yes, that's better. Thank you.
Okay. So what I had talked about on the previous slide, make sure you saw that, was these reparse tags, and then how to use it on the client. By the way, this obey PAM restrictions is a really fun thing. It was one of those examples where, you know, even after many years of working on Samba, why do we have to use obey PAM restrictions? Why do we have to remove that? Why would anybody set it? Because it's oddly enough in Samba affects the mode bits that are set by default by the server. In any case, as Jeremy notes, SE Linux has an issue that uses xadders on symlinks, but we're doing MF symlinks and we can get away with it. Good point. Let's see. So it's easy to set up on the server. On the client, specify POSIX. Typically specify nomap POSIX so you don't remap the file names. And then it's your choice whether you want to do no perm and MF symlinks. Very easy. And you notice, if you wanted to look, by the way, at what we're talking about, this reparse tag here is an example of a reader returning the reparse tag that allows us to more quickly, and you can see an LS here, right? I've got an LS of a directory that has a block file, a care file, a FIFO, a socket, and a symlink. So here's an LS using these reparse tags. It avoided having to do these extra round trips. Notice that the find request didn't have query info, query info, query info right after it. And, you know, the POSIX query der is very cool. Okay, so back to what works. Mode bits, they work. Client followed symlinks, works. Hard links, work. That works all today without the extensions, right? But with extensions, you can get unlink and rename semantics. So if a file is open and you're trying to delete it or rename it, you don't have to do the NFS silly rename. Case sensitivity works. By the way, in Samba today, you can do case sensitivity with a Linux mount without POSIX, but you'd have to specify case sensitivity in the SMB conf. But the POSIX unlink and rename are important. And of course, in addition, you're getting a better way to return mode bits. It's a little bit easier. Now, you can use mode from SID to get mode bits. I mean, here's an example, right? I think in my previous talk, I showed you all, you know, 4,096 combinations of mode bits work. And then with the 5.8 kernel, you can even on create set the owner information in the ACL, but it's a lot cleaner to use the POSIX extensions. So what about the kernel? We need to be able to quickly update the protocol when somebody adds a new API. When Dave Howells gets bored with whatever he's working on now, Dave Howells at Red Hat adds a new API, StatX2 or whatever it's going to be, we need to be able to quickly update the protocol when it's not possible to do with today's thing. And we need to better interact with the containers community, the Kubernetes guys, databases, and many others about what they'd like to be add. I had a funny example I was debugging recently. There was guys using these Alpine containers and they do an LS. And they'd actually have to do like two readers to get something because of a bug in their libraries. And you know, we have to be careful about these changes. When an app has a bug like this Alpine containers thing where they're using something other than libc, they're using, you know, their LS is calling something else. When the app has a bug, we have to be careful about hacking in changes. But there are a few examples where we may be able to, rather than add info levels, maybe add an ioctl, maybe add something very small. But I think that we are going to find that there are at least worth discussing with these communities, and we need to better interact with the MySQL guys, with the all of the database communities, the virtualization container communities. And I think you're seeing this with NFS, right? The NFS guys have been doing a pretty good job over the last 2 years of trying to interact with the containers communities about what they need to allow, you know, containers to run over a network mount. Well, obviously you'd much rather run it over SMB than NFS, right? We're faster. But how do we get interactions with those communities? And yes, we have a, I mean, Jeremy asked the question, don't we have an FS CTL for SMB that we can use to tunnel ioctls? We have the reverse, at least. We have an ioctl in Linux that we can tunnel FS CTLs. But if we, you know, Jeremy's suggestion of having an SMB3 FS CTL where we could tunnel a Linux ioctl, maybe that maybe we should do that. What we have today is a Linux ioctl that can tunnel an SMB3 FS CTL in it for query or setting things from user space. But you know, maybe we can do the reverse. So the extensions are easy. We've talked about this in the past. I don't want to spend much time on it, especially as time is almost running out here. But negotiate protocol, minor changes. If it returns a POSIX JSON text and open, the requirements are fairly straightforward and things Jeremy and I have discussed in the past. The only thing that's changed is reparse tags. The format of the POSIX owner and mode bits information is in the ACL. It's relatively straightforward. The info level 100, we don't have to worry about much, just one. And I want to make a call out to Aurelian, thanking him for the work on Wireshark and also the Pike test code. I forgot to mention the test cases we have for Pike for this. So not just SMB Torture, Volker's work, but also this Pike test code. Next steps, we got to keep debugging it. We need to help Jeremy out on the server side. On the kernel server, we need to finish up the POSIX extensions on the kernel server, help Namjay and Sergey out with that. And we have one piece left on the client side, and that's the query info finish up. And, you know, I think when it becomes non-experimental is largely up to Jeremy and the Samba guys when they have time to do additional merge of this, because I think the Linux kernel server, although it's an incredibly useful project, is still going to be experimental for a number of months, probably through part through next year. It's a great project, but we really need this in Samba. So help Jeremy out, please. And keep updating the wiki with details. To see this SMB3 Linux wiki page on samba.org. And we welcome questions or comments or feedback. And it's in, it looks like it's good pay, good shape. Here's the SMB3 Linux webpage. And, you know, we have time for maybe one or two more questions, but then I think I have to give it over. Yeah, okay, so Alexander explains the meaning of open PAM restrictions. And our goal, Jeremy is worried about exposing new info levels at the raw protocol level query info. I think at this point we don't have any fixed requirements on new info levels, but we might need it for FSCTLs. And there's a discussion that we need to have offline between Alexander and Jeremy and others about the meaning of obey PAM restrictions and why it influences the mode bits. But once again, that's a Samba issue, not really a POSIX extension issue. And it's just a heads up about a common configuration error. Okay, so do we have other questions or comments we should address? Let's see. And I think one of the action items for this is let's investigate a little bit more of the Mac extensions, because we may have some use cases where the Mac extensions are good enough, for example, for case sensitivity to address what they need. Okay. Okay, so if we don't have any other questions, I do want to say that we strongly welcome changes. We would love changes, especially as we, with the kernel server, have the opportunity to create unusual test cases, trying stuff and comparing the two servers and how they behave. And also in, isolating, is it a client problem? Is it a server problem? And I also want to encourage you guys to look at XFS test in more details. This is the common test spec across all Linux file systems, whether it's EXT4, XFS, NFS, SMB. And, you know, SMB does quite well. We run more XFS tests than NFS. And we run them every day, every week. But I do want to encourage you guys to look at that, not just as part of your distro regression testing or whatever your company cares about, but also as a way of finding out what we should add to Samba to make what we do the most important thing to everyone in the world. We're in this COVID world. We're having to work remote. We're storing everything in the cloud. We're storing everything on remote servers. This is the time we need to get the SMB3 protocol as the common way to access everything. Not just save my presentation in Azure, not just, you know, save your resume if you've had to switch jobs, but also everything we store should be using secure, encrypted SMB3.1.1, not some weak, crappy protocol. We should be using, you know, eat our own dog food, guys. Let's use the stuff that we know and love and we know is secure. And let's make it work for all of our workloads. Okay.
Okay.
So I think,
thank
moderator,
you very,
I'm ready
very
to
much.
Pass it off.
Yes. Thank you very much. And we will start mirroring track one for the rest of the Samba experience. You can also join track one directly if you want. We are currently in a short break and we will be back in about 10 minutes. Thank you very much, Stephen.
And thank you, moderators, for dealing with this exceptionally difficult, unusual time. It's not easy to do remote conferences, and I appreciate all you guys' help.
Thank you very much.